Beautiful rhetorical question ever known to man, Lord. How wonderful you are, Lord, to us. What an understatement. What an infinite amount of wonderfulness you are, oh God. You're more than wonderful, Lord. Our words cannot express, Lord. To think, Lord, that you could condescend to us, that you could be more than enough, Father, for us, oh God. To meet each one of our needs, Lord, tonight, oh God. Lord, just settle us down in your presence, Lord. We can feel it this evening. Oh, Lord, we're hungry, Lord. We need more. Lord, we want to come up higher today, Lord. We want to grow, Lord. Grow your children, we pray. Oh, God, I know you want to give us even more than we want to have, Father. So we're excited tonight, Lord. We're coming with eagerness, Lord, and willingness by your Holy Spirit inside of us, Father, Lord, to grasp, Father, tightly, Lord, to everything that, Lord, you would give at your table this evening, Lord. Lord, anoint the hearer, anoint the speaker, Lord, have your way in the service tonight, Lord. Take away all limiting beliefs and take away all unbelief, Father, from myself, from each one here, Lord. May we just say yes to you and open ourselves up, O God, and may Satan be bound in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, take your hands. Lord, I pray that Satan would take his hands off of God's property tonight, Lord, that we could just be able to cast off every work of darkness, Lord, that we could step into your marvelous light, Lord, to put on Christ Jesus tonight, O God, to be clothed, Father, with your power, Lord, to overcome, Lord, to be delivered, to be healed, Lord, and to stand, Lord, and to run this race tonight. Please, Father, we thank you now and we bless the service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Good to have you guys back from Wisconsin, Door County. Thank you. God bless you all. Good to be with you tonight. I was, you know, I get carnal sometimes, and I was thinking, oh man, this is the worst night to preach in the carnal because it's rainy. Maybe some people stayed up last night to watch politics. Hopefully none of you did because we already know where everything's going. And then to have a Wednesday night service and have sleepiness. But his strength is made perfect in our weakness and our sleepiness even. You believe it? So we're so thankful for that. And actually, it's interesting because Nate had started off in his prayer talking about, Lord, just get us out of sleep. And that's what's on my heart tonight. So if we could just all stand in honor of the word, and we'll just go right into the scripture. To 1 Thessalonians 5, we know that this is end times chapter in the scripture. Bethany sends her greetings. I had a piano tuning on the way down, so I didn't get to back to pick up the family for church, so they'll be watching online. So 1 Thessalonians 5. Amen. And we're just going to read the first 11 verses just to give a full understanding. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. We know what hour we are in. And we're talking about casting off sleep tonight, and we'll get into that a little bit more. And we know we're in the darkest age, right? And so if we were to be in a room with the lights off physically, right, we would be encumbered to fall asleep a lot sooner. And we know we're in a spiritually dark place now that is so easily spiritually to fall asleep. And verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, thank the Lord, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Aren't you thankful? We're not in darkness. We don't have to sleep. We don't have to be oppressed by the darkness to create spiritual sleepiness. You're all, can we read verse 5 together? Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Praise God. Let's ask the blessing on the word. Heavenly Father, praise be to God that we are the children of the light. Oh God, we just ask you bless the service now and bless the word. Quicken it to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. It's amazing how we get so busy in this world and so distracted in this world. And it's so easy to get sleepy spiritually because there's so many distractions more than any age. And I'd just like to ask that each one of us try to see this in a fresh way tonight, that to think of it that Satan has a target on each one of us. He wants us to be not awake. And what does it mean to sleep? Noah, what does it mean to be sleepy? What happens when you sleep? Yeah. And, yep, that's very good. So not aware. We're going to put these down so we can see. So effects of sleep. We're just going to say ill effects, but effects of sleep. So we can say weak, tired or weak. Okay, and then it was, what was the other one, Noah? Not aware. There you go. Oh man, this is the kind of talk that makes the devil happy. Alert. What else, Seth? You got one? I know you do. Christian, you got one? No, he's sleeping. All right. What about the girls? Anybody? Matthew? I can know you're thinking of one. Natalie? Okay. Now I have to look at my notes. I cheated. I have notes. So I'm not on the spot. If I can find where I put it in my notes, excuse me. Is that, not aware, eyes shut. We can even put it simpler as don't know what's going on. Isn't focused. No focus. When you're sleepy, you're not focused, right? There's times when Brother Don's preaching and I was not focused as I was sleepy. Natalie, what was it? Yeah, there you go. Yes, yeah, that's all it takes sometimes. When I was in college, I made the mistake of going shopping after school, and I was tired because I worked and then college. And then I would go to the store, and I would just wander around the store because I was so tired, and I just didn't know what I was doing. I was just wandering. Say that again, Natalie. To react. Yep. Slow reaction time. If you think of one, just raise your hand. Unprepared. How many have woke up late for work and were not prepared? Unprepared. I should put this up here. so you can read it unprepared. Unprepared. Powerless against attack. Oh, sorry, Christian. In darkness, yeah. When we were sleeping because we're in darkness. In darkness. In darkness. Yes. I have hit my head. I hit my knee on the corner of the bed, just waking up and walking in darkness. Seth. Vulnerable. Yeah, you're open to attack. Vulnerable. Good. That's really good. You aren't standing. Not standing. Unless you're sleepwalking, which I hope you're not. Standing. Any other ones? That kind of paints a pretty good picture, doesn't it? Right? And so, powerless against attack isn't standing. So, mentally dull. There you go, mentally dull. That's true. You wake up and you try to do something. Yeah. Oh, that's the age today. Everybody's dreaming. It's like Psalms chapter 2. Why does the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? They're dreaming, right? They think it's all utopia. So let's keep going in 1 Thessalonians 5 to see between sleep and awake and darkness and light. And verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So we're going to put over here the answer to how to not sleep, okay? So we're going to get rid of that. Because we have to have, we can't just don't sleep. We have to do something else. We've got to be awake. Ways to stay awake? The state of awakeness, or awake, is we've got to watch. Sober. And of course, everything opposite of this, right? Sober. Be focused, be alert. For they that sleep in the night, and they be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So we're going to back up for a minute, is that you see these scriptures that talk about sleep, and you'll notice a theme through it, is that you go from a state of sleep to awake, to now equip yourself with the armor of God, and then now you walk a life that you should live, and you put on Christ. So those things. So let's see if we can put these on there. So the I need two more whiteboards. So we can see that steps. We're gonna actually get up with this here. So steps. Put off sleep. Off sleep. We've got to put it off. It's a garment that we don't want to wear. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put off sleep. Awake. Awake, and then put on armor. This is so good. There's so many good things with this. Put on armor and then walk. You have to do something. How many people have fallen back asleep because they awoke from sleep and that's all they did? I've done that before where you wake up, you're like, I'm awake. I'm just going to lay here for a little bit. All of a sudden, bring. Stephen, are you coming to work today? Walk. Walking actually creates alertness. Walk and put on Christ. and we'll go kind of into that. But that's really what we're talking about tonight. Let's keep going. And I think we're at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, praise God, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So there's a wonderful thing that when we're awake, we can actually build each other up. Praise God. Okay, now we're going to go jump over to Romans chapter 13 to another example. We're going to read from, starting with the verse 11. And that knowing the time, that's key, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. It's not just you can get up in half an hour and hit the snooze. Right, it's right now. It's high time that we can get out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed, and we know that also means deliverance. We're going to be delivered from this evil world to a wonderful heavenly life. Praise God. Think about it. We're almost there. It's closer than we think. We're in the 11th hour. That it's 3 minutes till midnight. We are so close. We do not know how close we are. And that's why you can see it. Satan can't just have a general plan and try to just sprinkle darkness over some people to anoint them to try to stop the bride of Christ, to stop God's church. He's got to be deliberately attacking in the way that helps each one of us go to sleep. They say that a really good hunter is one that puts the traps on the path of the animal that it goes every day, right? So it's not going to just scatter traps here, there, and see what works. That's Satan has had 7,000-8,000 years to prepare to do everything he can to stop God's chosen people, God's bride. So there's so many tactics that we could talk about. We're not going to get into it too much. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. You can, in the Greek, it also means the employment of darkness. Satan wants employees in the kingdom of darkness. He wants us to be employed. And like they say about social media, it just wants your attention and it wants your time. That's all it wants. And then the third thing it wants is to change your values by 1%. Attention, time, and change your values by 1%. Because then if it can do that, it can get you to do something other than what you're supposed to be doing towards its agenda. And so we have to be so careful. And that's why that word, fret not yourself, is so important, as in Psalms 37. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, because fret means a continual wearing down. Satan says, to me, one of his key phrases is, all I have is, hey, I got time. I got time. I can wait. I can work on you for 25 years, 45 years, 55 years on the same thing and just slowly wear you down, just like a little bit of erosion, just a tiny, almost imperceptible amount to try to work in to bring us sleep, right? It's like when they say, like, you're getting sleepy. There's just that thing in front of you. No, I'm not getting sleepy. But after a while, all of a sudden, why? And what the person was focused, right? I will not fall asleep. But it's just that continual wearing down, that mesmerizingness. Nobody can go to sleep talking about it. I can see your eyes, each one of you. So that's really important. Now, what verse were we at? Thank you, Brother Greg. Let us cast up the work that is so darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. There it is again. The armor of light. We have to be protected. We can go into that a lot. Let's just not for right now. And next, let us walk honestly. It actually means decent, that word also. Walk and be decent. Walk decently. What? Nobody does that anymore. What? We can just be better than everybody else, and that will be decent enough. No, according to God's standard, it's righteous. Walk righteously as in the day, not in rioting. Wow, this is getting close to home. We think about Minneapolis, and we think about different places. We think about some of these verses I read as a child, and I thought, rioting, okay, check, that's not a problem. But you think about this, it's after the elections even, people were talking to me, and they're like, I'm sorry, I just can't help it. It's just so, it just boils my blood. But we know we have an answer. We're not looking to those things. Not rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and in envying. And let's read verse 14 together. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that is so key, because Satan can only get at us through our flesh. The works of darkness will not work unless he has the conduit of our five senses to work through. If you can try to work through our spirit to get to us. But if we're hidden in Christ, I love that that analogy as I was reading. If you're wondering, you hear word phrases and you're like wondering what that means. It's like dead as a doornail. I talked about this before. Do you remember what dead as a doornail means? Brother Ron, the cabinet maker, the woodworker, or Josh, what dead as a doornail means? So this is so wonderful, because we're that nail. And back in the day when the smiths had to make those nails, it was expensive to get a nail. It wasn't that you could just buy a box for $8. Is every nail was hand forged, and people would steal nails out of people's doors at night. They would just go out there and grab people's nails out of their door. So what they would do is they would pound it all the way in, and they would bend the end over into the back of the door, and it's called clenching the nail. Yes. And that would render it dead. And what was neat is it was no longer usable, because it was so embedded into that door that it was rendered useless. And I think, oh my, saints of God, Christ said, I am the door. And we get pounded so far into Christ, Satan tries to come steal us back away. He can't get us out. And it would be useless anyways, because we were so fashioned after him that there would be no other use for us. And I think that's just a wonderful thing, that it's that we get so in our lives that may God help me to get to that place where I'm useless. The only thing I can do is just talk about Jesus. The only thing I can do in my life is Jesus. That's my heart, is that I'd be rendered useless otherwise. And that would be dead and hid in Christ in that door, so that darkness could not overtake me. Amen. That's wonderful. This is from the sermon Influence. And in that, they asked these Jews bringing them in, old on their backpack, and then they said, did you come to the homeland to die? No, we came here to see the Messiah. Talking about the time getting on, we're in the end times. When you see them questions that God's calendar, the timepiece that the Messiah is fixing to appear, and we know that, especially young people that are still understanding this, is that when Christ comes back for the Jews, our time as Gentiles is over. that, and we know that Israel is in their homeland, and they're waiting for their Messiah. They already have the red heifer. They already have everything for the sacrifice. They have everything ready, and they're waiting for their Messiah. They're waiting, and it's just right around the corner. So what should we do, knowing that our time is almost up where he's going to go back to the Jews? We ought to be humble. How we ought to be reverent. How we ought to be in action, trying to get every soul saved that we can, scattering seeds from right to left and doing everything that we can. But instead of that, we say, glory to God, I don't feel like going tonight. I believe I'll stay home and see this good telecast tonight. It's prayer meeting, but a sleeping church, a Laodicean rich, oh my, there we are. It should put us into action. So why would we want to wake out of sleep? Is because we know how late the hour is, as the virgins were all sleeping, and that how it was called to awake, the bridegroom cometh, and that's what made them wake up. We know that's the call for us. Each of us believers is awake. The bridegroom cometh. He's coming. For each one of us, young people, do you believe that? He's coming back for us. Have you ever had a dream of seeing Jesus coming? I remember I had a dream, and it scared me so much. I actually had three dreams, and the first dream, I had missed it. And it was at night. It was in darkness, and I looked out the window, and on the horizon was an orange nuclear bomb going off on the horizon. And within about two or three seconds, there was water just pouring into my bedroom. And I was like, oh no, I missed it. I missed the coming of the Lord. I was asleep. And I was like, dear God, help me. And then I had another dream, and I was standing outside on the sidewalk on a hot summer night, and I look above the city where I am, and there's a giant green mushroom cloud just filling the whole horizon. And I'm like, I'm about to feel the blast of that nuclear bomb. And I was thinking, I missed it. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be resurrected. And that got me on my knees so much. It woke me up when I was in sleep, spiritually, just thinking, oh, I'm okay. This is, you know, the Lord knows them that are his. But I knew I needed to do something. And I said, Lord, I need to get right with you. Please forgive me of my sins. And it was a process. And then months after that, I had a dream, and I felt that same thing about to happen again. And I was in a field, and I heard the bombs falling. But it was interesting. I had peace in my heart this time. It was so wonderful. And the bombs were falling, and all of a sudden I was immediately caught up in the air with the saints. And it was this wonderful feeling of, it doesn't apply to me anymore. This is wonderful. Ooh, this is great. I didn't do it. I didn't go. It was, he catches us up. We shall jump up in the air. No, we shall be caught up in the air. But like Brother Ram said about what is holding you down is about that great magnet coming down in that machine shop over all these pieces of metal, is that there were some that weren't magnetized to that, and it could sweep down, and it would catch some, but not others. And then he said, but those are iron. Why aren't those going? But because they were bolted down. So we don't want to be bolted down to anything of darkness that would keep us holding on to the things of the world. And it's amazing, because it was a process, because there were some times where I'd go back into things of the world, and I was like, I can't do this. I know where this leads. It was the Lord just working in my heart, taking those things, that attachment for those works of darkness out of my life. I didn't want to be Satan's employee anymore. To take that extra time that I have, that idle time, and turning it into idol worship. So, Lord, help us to just remember that's why we want to wake out of sleep, because we don't want to miss it, and because we want to go in with the bridegroom, who is our lover. That's our Lord. We love him. So we know, wake out of sleep, awake, arise, be erect, alert, watch, and pray. Because then we know, and we have to see in the unseen. We have to close our eyes to the world. to not be affected. And I'm preaching to myself tonight. This is just coming out, praise God. Because, oh, if we look and behold the things of the world, the fashion magazines, the clothing of the world, if we can use that metaphor, everything, it's fashioning us and getting us tribulation ready. It's not getting us rapture ready. And that we must be watchful and prayerful, knowing that Satan is coming to devour, but God is coming to bring us home. Praise God. It's a wonderful testimony when we can be doing that and having that be fresh. You have scads of opportunities to be a witness, don't you? When people are like, oh yeah, I don't know. I tried again. I put in my vote and here we are again. And you can say, there's a better vote than that. And this vote, this election doesn't have a midterm. This is once and for all. This is it. Praise God. Wonderful. Let's go to Romans 6. It's right there. We're almost there. Casting off the works of darkness again. Oh man, this is so good. I just want to read the whole chapter. This is talking about walking in newness of life. And I know you're already seeing this, but everything is in putting on the Lord Jesus. Everything is being baptized. Everything. Oh, and I wanted to say too, the word put on in the Greek means sink into. Like when you put on a garment, you sink into that garment. And here we're going to see it. We're just going to start with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead in sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. There's baptism right there. We die to ourselves. We identify in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, old Stephen, old Noah, old Pete, each one of us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There's the works of darkness. For he that is dead is freed from sin. There's that dead as a doornail. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. That darkness has no more dominion. It cannot rule and reign over you. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. We live unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. And this is verse 13. As the key verse, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And there it is this is an awake Christian that is not under the unfruitful works of darkness. They're made alive from all that. And that's that initial process. Now, we're not living as a Romans 7 Christian anymore. We're not under that law, that gravity pulling us down into sin all the time. And we're saying, that is dead. I am hid in Christ. I am, that old man does not live anymore. And we think about this again, armor. We put on the armor of God. We can be alive in Christ, but we have to have the armor of God. We have to have we have to have our helmet of salvation. Salvation, deliverance. We need to be delivered in our mind from the evil of this day. And what's that scripture? It's in Thessalonians where it says that put on the helmet of righteousness. How that it is. Oh, let me see if I can go there real quick. Bear with me. There's something that's so good about this, because this is the greatest battle ever fought that's in our mind. It's darkness over us. How many times did God give Brother Branham that vision to see, say, oh, there's darkness over you. I can see it over you. You could physically see it with his eyes. How that gave us a glimpse to say, sometimes Satan is trying to embody us and possess us, but first it's Satan above, and then Satan in, and Satan through. He wants to possess your body. Those, just like we know about the man, the wild man of Gadara, is that when we delivered all those demons, they wanted to go into something else because they didn't want to be disembodied. Those demons want a body. They want a host. They want to work. They want to live. They can't fulfill. I've heard said it's like if it's a spirit of alcoholism, it cannot feel the pleasures of alcohol without a throat that it will be thirsty to drink for alcohol. So when we play around with the things of the world, we're inviting spirits. We have to go into the demonic and say, this is real. This is something that we can elicit, or something that, because it's by permission only. They know it's by permission because they have no choice. They can just try to influence, but we choose whether or not we have a spirit or not. It has to be invited. So the things that we do every day, that's why we have to put off the sleep. We have to put it off. We know that, and there was a man that he had depression because his dad had depression, and he said the Lord finally showed him that scripture in Isaiah 61 about put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and he said that is depression. He says, and he took the scriptural application, and he was delivered. He said he felt this weight come off of him. He felt light, and he felt peace from then on. He didn't have depression anymore. So some of our things are spiritual thing where it's trying to come over us, or it's trying to be in us. And sometimes it's a spirit that somehow got on us because of a bloodline through our family, and that somehow Satan has legal right. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just to be identified and be, again, watching and praying. Him, by this man watching and praying, the Lord led him to the scripture for deliverance. That can't be undermined or disvalued, undervalued. Someone help me find that. The other verse for, is it 1 Thessalonians 5:8? And this is so key because, again, the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. Not never enough time on Wednesday night. Thank you, Brother Greg. Okay. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And I was hearing this explained, is what is the hope of salvation? Is that it's that vision of the joy that is before us, of everything that he has, the salvation of deliverance from this body, salvation of eternity with Christ. Is there was a man that he came to Christ, and he was just immediately fighting spiritual warfare. He said he heard blasphemous curse words in his head all the time against the Lord. He never heard it before he got saved, but after he got saved, he just heard blasphemy against the Lord in his head all the time, and he was so troubled. And he said, Lord, I love you, and I don't want to think these thoughts. And he finally told his wife, I'm going to shut myself in my room and pray until this is over. And he went into watching and praying. And it was a day and a half in, or 2 days in. He said, the presence of the Lord came so strong. And he said, it's not a problem. And he says, well, I think it's a problem. It's blasphemous words against you. And he says, what you do is every time you hear that Satan come to you, you just tell me what you think of me. Just start telling me what you think of me. So he says, you know, here Satan would come. He says, oh, Lord, you're my deliverer. You saved me from sin. You saved me from darkness. And here I am chosen by God. I'm the one that was chosen out of millions. I'm one in a million. And he'd start praising the Lord every time. And then here would come again. Oh, Lord, I praise you. You saved me from alcoholism. You saved me from this. And he said, it drove me to the presence of God every time Satan came. Pretty soon Satan's like, this is all right. This is not working. I give up. And those thoughts went away. So we can see all we have to do is look up. Again, focus on the Lord. Tell him what we think of him. Cast off those workers of darkness. It's not just, well, I'm just not going to be tired anymore. I'm not going to just have spiritual darkness in my life anymore. No, we have to put on the Lord Jesus through praise, the garment of praise. That's what he did. Is this helping at all tonight? I hope this is. Let's go into the inner man a little bit, because we got to feed ourselves. If we don't feed ourselves, the Satan can come against us. There's a really good sermon called The Christian's Journey by Burley Williams. God saved him from being a DJ and doing drugs out in the world. And he said, he was talking about the Amorites besieging Judah, with the lepers. And he said that's just like us in our lives as Christians. He says, we stop listening to sermons, we stop reading our Bible, we stop praying. And if Satan can just get us to do that, he doesn't even have to attack us. He can just wait outside for us and be like, I give up. I want what you got. You got food out there. How many times have we like, ah, my life, Netflix. Ah, my life, fashion magazine. Ah, my life, new car. New car will fix it. Maybe that's what I think sometimes. I like cars. Why? We're like, I give up. Why? Because we've lost the joy of the Lord for our strength. We've lost the washing of the water of the Word. We've lost that feeling of being full of the joy of the Lord and being seated in heavenly places. You know, where at His right hand there's pleasures forevermore. We forget that place, that joy we had. So don't let Satan take siege to your city by starving you out. Let's read. Let's just close with this verse. This is last verse. 2 Corinthians 4. Thank you all for praying for me. I really was battling tonight, and I'm really thankful because it was really a tough one. And let's go to verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. There's our hope. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. In verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This outward man is, again, like you, young people, you said, Noah and Christian and Natalie, each one of you, how that we get weak in the flesh. We wake up and we're not aware what's going on and all these different things, right? And yet, this outward man is perishing. We just got to renew ourselves in the Word. We got to remember who we are. It's simple as like, hey, oh yeah. That's right, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. Oh, this is great. Okay, here we go. Not, oh, Lord, oh. It's like, you've heard that line from that one Jewish movie, Fiddler on the Roof, where it's like, we're the chosen people. Oh, God, could you just choose someone else? Right? That's the wrong attitude, right? Because it's all just, my body hurts. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I feel poor in finances too. Oh dear. Versus remembering who we are, renewed day by day, looking into the unseen. Because it has to happen in the unseen before it happens in the seen. We know this. Now let's keep going through verse 18. For our light affliction. Paul wrote this, didn't he? And I was hearing someone, maybe it was, can't remember which one, McGee. Was it Dr. McGee? He's talking about our light affliction, and Paul says his light affliction. And he was, you know, stoned, shipwrecked twice, you know, had to escape the city by a basket, all these things. And he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And that's something that we can, that's a telescope we can grab real quick if we have trouble, right? Our light affliction for a moment. It's a moment. Worketh for us a far more, we got to read that together. Can we just read verse 17? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. What? But at the things which are not seen. Praise God. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we can't see the eternal, the works of darkness that are unseen, but actually there we can a lot today. And yet we can see God moving. We have to be looking at it. And it's amazing how it's, you know, it's so close it'll deceive the very elect if possible. And you can see in the religious world, they're pulling on this. Oh, Trump could be, he's the one. He's the chosen one. Or this politician. Oh, DeSantis, he's going to save us. They're looking to the seen rather than to the unseen, right? We know what we need to be looking at. If we're disappointed, if it starts to fail, we know it's not God. So we got to keep, again, looking to the unseen. Praise God. You believe it? Amen. Let's just bow our heads as the musicians would come. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be asleep in this world. We don't have to be weak, unalert, drowsy, not unready. All these things, Lord, that you've given us what we need, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Even just thinking about, Lord, all the potential that you are to quicken us, Lord. Lord, through that whole process by the Holy Ghost, which I never even got to, Lord, that process, Lord, of bringing us up higher into you to wake others out of sleep, Lord. There's so much there, Lord, that needs to be wrapped up, Lord. Please forgive me, Lord, for not spending time, Lord. But, Lord, I know each of us, one of us, Lord, has received something from you tonight, Lord, that has captured our heart, Lord, to give us what we need, Lord, to be alert, to not let Satan come and put his dark cloud over us and run a black streak through our life of sleepy unalertness and spiritual darkness, looking for the things of the world, casting ourselves out into outer darkness, Lord. We are children of the day. That's our identity, Lord. Why would we want to communicate and fellowship with the works of darkness? We are children of the day. We are children of the light. Lord, we are one with you, O God. When we put you on, Lord, when we, Lord, let you just so permeate each fiber of our being, Lord, that it's you, O God, living and not us living, O God. Take each one tonight, Lord. O God, I just ask you'd forgive me, Lord, for the times that I've just decided to choose sleepiness, Lord, over awakeness, Lord. Sometimes life can be so stressful. Rather than running to the comforter, Lord, we run to other hiding places, O God, that are false, Lord. Lord, that are actually casting us into darkness, Lord, groping around, Lord, like me, Lord, on a tired day, or walking around the store, Lord, not even doing anything, Lord. Lord, I don't want my life to be like that, Lord. I want it to be flourishing, Lord, and fruitful, Father. And as I do for each one here this evening, Lord, oh God, you wanted this preached tonight, Lord, because we need to know this, Lord. We need to be urgent, Lord. Please, oh God, whatever it takes, Lord, if you need to give us a dream, Lord, if you need to give us a sign, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, you're rich in mercy and grace, Father. We don't deserve it, Father, but we're your children, Lord. Please, oh God, wake us up, oh God. We ask that you would help each of us, one of us, to make it a commitment, Lord, even tonight, oh God, that we would not, if there's things that we have identified in our hearts that we're just falling, we're willing to fall asleep again. It's worth it. Lord, take that desire out, oh God. The Lord sees each one's heart here tonight. Please do, we know that you'll do that work in each one here, Lord, but you're waiting at our heart's door to see what we'll decide. Each one here tonight, as their heads bowed, will you follow him? Will you say, I'm wanting to wake up. I don't want to sleep. I don't want Stephen to live anymore. I don't want me to live anymore. I want to be dead, and I want Christ to live through me. I want to be awake. I want the old me to be sleeping and dead, and to be dead to the things of the world, and to be awake in a newness of life, and to be standing with my armor on, walking in Christ. The Lord sees each one of your heart now, and we ask that you would now take each one here tonight, Lord, and just pray that you would keep, Lord, instructing, Lord, and keep nudging, Lord, and keep making us aware of those times, Lord, when we're about to go back off into sleep. We thank you now, and we just commit each one in your hands now this evening in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Can we all stand? We could sing here's a really upbeat song. Normally we don't end an upbeat song. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Do y'all know that song? One of my favorites, Against the Enemy. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, amen. Oh, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Where is he arising? In each one of us. Isn't that wonderful? He's not fighting our battles while we sit on the couch. Because it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. You're dismissed this evening. Brother Ron, sorry, would you close us in a word of prayer? Yeah, would you?
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this gathering here tonight, for the words that we've received. We believe that's your word spoken to us through our brother, and we just pray, Lord, that now we will take these things and live them and believe for greater things and perhaps share them with somebody else. But Lord, we each one wanting to do our part, be with us as we go our ways, and when we come back again, we'll be refreshed and ready for another day, another week, whatever it is. Lord, we just want to get closer to you. Whatever time remains, we don't know. We just don't know. Lord, you do. Our times are in your hands, and we just pray, Lord, you be with each one. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.